Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this fellowship hour. As it is written, what a beautiful thing when the people come together in unity. How pleasant, how beautiful it is. And there the Lord commanded the blessing. The Lord command the blessing upon everyone here today. And let thy word, even the entrance thereof, let it shine light into our hearts. Give us understanding. And we praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Today's lesson, I'm going to be for the most part of the month. That was a series I wanted to do, but the Lord's moving me in a different direction. Maybe I'll get to that next year. But for the rest of this year, by the grace of God, for the most part, I am going to go back to the Emerge series. Yeah. So that's how the Lord started this year, and that's how we're going to end. So this lesson is on emerging. And here is the title. Emerge! The election of grace and vessels of mercy. Those that are chosen. So, you know, in this series, Emerge series, we're going to be talking about many things that will help us, you know, to indeed enter into that word which the Lord spoke for us since the beginning of the year. Hallelujah. So we're in the Emerge series right now. What does it mean to talk about the election of grace and the vessels of mercy? Well, the best place that I can think of to bring that out will be in the book of Romans chapter 9. And Romans chapter 9 covers a lot of things. Let's look at this verse starting from verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah will have a son. Well, that's what the word of God said to Sarah. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, well, that's election of grace, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now, it was said unto her, elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob, I have loved, and Esau, I have despised, or hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's it. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, ladies and gentlemen, it is not of him that willeth, even though we should. It is not of him that runneth, even though we must. But it is of God that showeth mercy. Hallelujah. Well, let's talk about it. You know, the story that we're looking at today, the story, you know, of Rebecca and Isaac. When Rebecca was pregnant, she was found to be pregnant with twins. But there was something that was going on even inside her. We're told that, you know, the babies, they struggled inside her. That something was going on right from even her womb, you know. And then they found out later that she was pregnant with twins. Well, they didn't have any of that ultrasound stuff back in the day unless the word of the Lord spoke it to them, you know. They really wouldn't know, you know, but she was going to be a mother of twins. And inside her, you know, told that there were two nations and they struggled, you know, one with another and even when she was going to give birth. Interesting story. It was like something happening, you know. One came out, the other one had, you know, had his hands on his heels. I was like, I mean, there was always, you know, right from the beginning, there was this, you know, struggle, you know, between the two of them, you know. And at the end of it all, something terrible happened to Esau, you know. And Esau, he sold his birthright, we're told later on. I'll tell you a little more about that in a bit, you know. But let me read this to you in Genesis chapter 25. You know, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Verse 21. Genesis 25, 21. Because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. You know, so, you know, you can actually entreat the Lord for someone who was barren, we're told. And their children struggled together within her. And she said, you know, if it be so, why am I thus? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Like I said, you know, they didn't have any means or technology to look inside back in the day. But they could inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, well, there are two nations in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one shall be stronger, you know, than the other. And the elder shall serve the younger. I mean, why in the world would God say something like this? The children have not done any evil. They've not even been born. I mean, and God's already saying that the elder will serve the younger. Well, God has the capacity to say that. Because not only is he in the present, he's also in the future. Our future, nothing really is future to him. He knows it all. So he can see everything clear on out. And he can say, call it out as it is and as it's going to be. You know, and it came to pass, you know, when it was time for her to be delivered, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first one came out red all over with hairy garment and so forth, called his name Esau. After that came out his brother also, and he took hold on Esau's heel, and he was called Jacob. Isaac was only 60 years old when this happened. And these boys began to grow, you know, and from that time on, the word that the Lord spake concerning Esau and Jacob, even before they were born. Interesting story. It began to come to pass. One day when they were grown, I mean, Esau was a cunning hunter, we're told. You know, but Jacob was a man, you know, just a regular plain man, dwelt in tents. You know, so, and you know, one day, you know, Esau and Jacob, they were in the field, and there was some pottage that Jacob made. And Esau came back from the field and was hungry and really weary. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with some of that red pottage, for I am faint. Well, they called his name because of that, Edom. And Jacob said to him, that this Jacob was a wily, was a wily guy. You know, he said to him, sell me this day thy birthright. Now you should listen to a lesson. You'll find a recording. I don't know what date is. Many months ago, I did on this room called The Firstborn and the Birthright. Powerful stuff. Anyway, the birthright went to the firstborn. You know, and, you know, and Jacob was struggling with his brother right from the womb. Had his hand on his heel. It's like, where are you going? I want to come out first. But no, Esau came out. Yet the Lord said something. You know, I mean, despite the fact that the birthright belonged to the firstborn, it seemed as if the Lord reversed it. And he said, the elder will serve the younger. Now, that's, you know, whoever heard of such a thing? Not in Israel. You know, the younger, you know, I mean, the elder is always number one. And everything went to them. I mean, the elder. But anyway, in this story, Jacob said, well, sell me your birthright. And Esau said, oh, I'm at a point to die. What profit is my birthright to me? Well, Jacob said, well, if that's the way you think and you see it, well, then swear to me this day and sell me your birthright. And I'll give you the pottage, but I want that birthright. Now, Jacob knew something that Esau didn't know. See, there was something in there. And this man, Jacob, you know, we might look at some of the things that happened in his life. He knew something, you know, and there was something working on him. And this man, Jacob, you know, he bargained for Esau's birthright. And Esau said, well, what's the birthright? What good is it to me? I'm going to die anyway. He was so, you know, short-sighted. He couldn't see the future. He didn't know the power of that birthright. And he despised his birthright that very day. Well, later on, we found that he cried and sought it carefully with tears, but he couldn't get it, you know. And of course, you know, Rebecca also, I mean, Esau was loved by Isaac, but, you know, Rebecca loved Jacob more. And so they were playing some games with each other. Well, as the story went, the day when Isaac had gone old, couldn't see very well. He wanted to bless his son Esau, asked him to go make some meat and come and feed him so he can bless him. Rebecca overheard it, you know, tried to get in there and get the blessing for Jacob, whom she preferred. And they planned what he was going to do. And when Jacob stood before Isaac suspected something was wrong, but, you know, he really couldn't tell. And he gave the blessing to Jacob. And as soon as he was done, Esau came in and wanted a blessing. And he said, well, I thought I just blessed you. And said, no, that wasn't me. And the Bible said he cried bitterly. He said, my father, isn't there just a blessing left for me? Give me something. The man said, well, I'm sorry, son, but I blessed you. I blessed your brother over you. I've given him everything. My goodness. And that word that was spoken to Rebecca, even before the boys were born, began to unfold. Now, there was a little supplanting going on, but nonetheless, you know, God saw it. He spoke it. And it's happening. And from that point on, of course, you know, Esau hated Jacob and wanted to kill him. And a lot of stuff went on in the story. But I won't go too far into that story. What I do want to point out, though, was that sometimes the way God does his thing is not the way we think. There is an election according to the purpose of God, and it's in the mind of God. And only he knows what he's going to do. You know, and we've also preached on the crossing of the hands. And sometimes God will do that. It looks like he crossed the hands here as well. Now, the hands were also crossed. Now, Jacob was someone that's used to that, you know, grabbing something that could have gone to someone else, was used to it. And he knew it too. And when he finally went and was reunited with Joseph in Egypt, after Joseph had two sons, you know, and Joseph wanted Jacob to bless his sons, and he brought them to Jacob to bless them. And the way he did it, you know, it was because he knew who was firstborn. And he knew how, you know, you had to, I mean, bless the children. You can't just, you know, you can't bless the younger, you know, be over the elder. And so he guided his hands and made sure that, you know, when he brought Manasseh and Ephraim, he brought them like that to Joseph to bless them. He made sure, you know, that the older would be towards Jacob's right hand and the younger would be to his left. But Jacob crossed his hands. And when he did, Joseph wasn't happy. And he said, you know, not so, my father, not so. This is the older. And Jacob said, I know it. But, you know, pretty much the elder will serve the younger. He said the same thing. And it was the same thing that was prophesied upon him even before he was born. He's, you know, this thing seemed like, you know, there's always this twist in Jacob's life. He was part of it and he's passing it on here. But there was a purpose according to election. God is the one that elects. And the people that he elects by his mercy is what we call vessels of honor and vessels of mercy. Now, there is always the mercy of God, which we talked about yesterday. But if you receive the mercy of God, if the mercy of God is, you know, put upon you, that's a thing. The Bible says, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, that's a thing that, my goodness, if we truly understand it, you know, then we will always be in awe of the Lord. Because it's not because of what we did or what we do. You say, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's it. You know, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I mean, so if you really think in your life that you are a vessel of mercy, receiving mercy from the Lord, then we ought to always fall on our face and just thank him and worship him. Because it's not because of what you did. I mean, and sometimes, you know, when we look, we find that we're not even deserving of anything. I mean, Jacob was a supplanter, you know. He always, you know, doing all this crazy stuff. But he was the one the Lord chose, you know. And when the Lord chooses, he knows how to pick them. He doesn't choose like God, I mean, like man. He knows what he's doing. Now, let's talk about, you know, vessels of mercy and vessels of dishonor. Well, the Bible actually tells us that, you know, there's such a thing, like, in a great house, there are many kinds of vessels, you know, like in your house. I mean, today, if you look in your house, you know, you'll find that you have many kinds of vessels, right? There are some that are just regular vessels, something you don't care too much about. And, you know, some may be in the kitchen, like in our house, there's some in the kitchen cupboard, some in here and there, and some in this place and that place. You know, some left on the countertop or whatever. And then there are some choice vessels that are in the china, you know, and just... they're reserved for like special occasions, but they're all in the same house. You know, some of them are unto honor and some are unto dishonor. I mean, some you don't really care about, you know, but the choice vessels, I mean, you put them up in a place. If you use them, you clean them real quick and put them right back and they're looking really nice. You put them in the china and everything, you know. Likewise also, you know, in a great house, there are many vessels. I'm going to read that to you in a minute, but first of all, let me read in this Romans 9 that we were talking about. Let me read a little bit earlier in the chapter to us. Now, at the end of this, I'm going to bring it around to the subject matter, which is emerge. But just bear with me as we read this. You know, the vessels of honor and the vessels, of mercy, I want to say. Now, let's read this. It says, you know, God said he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. So let me read a little bit further down. You know, he said, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. But the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Remember his name again. You know, so God actually hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He said, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Okay, so Paul is now going to pick up this argument. Well, you will say unto me then, why then doth God yet find fault? I mean, if God's the one that's, you know, having mercy, and God's the one that's hardening the hearts of people, and God's the one that's softening the hearts of the people, you know, why then can he find fault? I mean, nobody's done anything other than what he made them do. You know, Paul said, look, but who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me so? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump, ladies and gentlemen, the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The vessel of honor being, in this case, the vessels of mercy. You know, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much suffering the vessels of wrath fitted with this to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory? That's where the election comes in. It's in the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he before he prepared unto glory. What if that's what he had in mind? You know, he wanted to bring the riches of his glory upon some, and so he elected them even before the world began. They were chosen. In the book of Ephesians, we said they were chosen in him before the world began. Hallelujah. And if now we realize who we are and the trail that we have, you know, going right back, all the way back to even before the world began, how that he chose you. You know, you're not just some random accident. He chose you to be a vessel of mercy. My goodness. If we know that, you know, then we ought to really praise the Lord. But what should the vessels of mercy expect? And what should they do? Well, the vessels of mercy, once they recognize it, you know, they should expect the blessings of the Lord. That's part of what we dealt with yesterday. They should always be looking for his goodness and his mercy. You know, but Paul would write about, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. Some unto honor and some unto dishonor. That's the one I was just talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. I have all kinds of vessels in there. You know, what should the vessel of mercy do then? The vessels of honor. Let's equate the vessels of mercy to the vessels of honor. And let's equate the vessels of wrath to the vessels of dishonor. So, well, here's what he says. If a man will purge himself from things that are dishonorable, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for unto every good work. He will too. And the Lord, this is what he wants us to do. When we see that the mercy of the Lord is with us, the Bible says the mercy of the Lord is with them that fear him. When you realize the mercy of the Lord is with you, that will draw your heart towards more reverence to the Lord. Not recklessness, but reverence to the Lord. Say, wow, why in the world would he choose me? You know, that's why I play that song at the beginning. Love somebody like me. why would he? Sometimes it makes me want to tremble. I mean, sometimes it makes me tremble. Sometimes it makes me want to cry. Why in the world would he choose someone like me and choose to favor me and choose to have mercy upon me? I mean, God has not dealt with us according to our sins. He could have dealt with us according to our sins, but he didn't. You know, and he chose, you know, he said, for my own name's sake, I blotted out your transgressions. And I removed them from as far as the east is from the west. And so when we begin to realize these things, this should give us two things in our minds. One, reverential fear for the Lord, that he chose us and not the other way around. You know, he did not despise us, but he chose us. That ought to make us love him more. And two, you know, that kind of grace causes a response. You know, the response is for us to love him more and to want to do his will so that we don't frustrate that grace that he bestowed upon us. And let me tell you some other thing that he has bestowed upon us and you and me for this year. He said, you will emerge. You know, so because he said so, I want to remind us of that. You know, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves of the word of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes the Lord will, you know, have to show you strategy and show you some things, but he'll do it too. Now, the vessels of mercy that God has elected to bring to pass his own purpose, you know, we thank God that we are part of those vessels. And to us this year, he has spoken and said, we shall emerge. Now, let's read some stories, you know, a few more stories. I won't read them all, but I will paraphrase in the life of this Jacob. Because, you know, I love this Jacob man, and there's a lot of good things in his life that bring lessons. You know, lessons of faith and lessons of, you know, tremendous understanding. You know, of course, you know, the Lord, you know, blessed him and promised to bless him just like, you know, God blessed Abraham. God blessed Isaac. God blessed Jacob. And the Lord also said to Jacob, you know, that, you know, I'm going to bless you, you know, for, you know, the sake of Abraham, your father. You know, so, you know, in my case, I love to see that and I love to talk about that. People love to talk about generational curses. Well, that's what they choose to see. I choose to see generational blessings. And because God blessed Abraham, and because of Abraham, he blessed Isaac. And because of Abraham, he blessed Jacob also. And God will say to him, look, I'm going to give you this place, you know, because of your father, Abraham. He said that to Isaac and Jacob both, because he obeyed my word and he obeyed my voice and so on. You know, and Jacob did all kinds of things. You know, you might know the story of when it was time for him to have a child, a wife, that he was told to, you know, his mother didn't want him to be like Esau, who took some wives that they were not pleased with. So, well, you know, go to the house of, you know, my uncle, you know, and so forth, and get someone from there. So Laban was the man. So he went there, as the story went. But to cut a long story short, you know, Jacob loved Rachel, but the man tricked him, gave him Leah to wife the night, and he didn't know about it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he was drunken or whatever. I mean, I don't know what happened. But anyway, when he woke up in the morning, he said, well, this is not the one. Why do you have you tricked me? And Laban said, well, you know, we can't do that. I can't give you the younger first. I got to give away the older. So serve with me another 7 years. And he'd already served 7 years, which he thought was for Rachel. But they tricked him, gave him Leah. And so he served 7 more years. The Bible said that, look, while he was doing all of this, you know, he said he was like, you know, just a few days to him because he really loved, I mean, this Rachel. You know, so I said, well, okay, I'll do it. And when he did, you know, then finally he got Rachel to wife after 14 years. And then the man said to him, well, you know, it looks like the Lord has blessed me since you've been here. So don't go away from me. You know, do some more work for me and I'll pay you. Just give me your wages. I'll pay you, you know, and so forth. And every time they agreed to something, Laban tricked him out of it one way or another, you know, and made himself 6 more years for some cattle. And finally, Jacob had it up to here. Of course, you know, he was running away from his brother too, Esau. So he said, look, and the Lord had told him, don't worry about it. Go back home. I'll bless you. So he said, look, after 20 years, he wanted to get away and the man wouldn't let him go. So one day he planned to get away in his heart, but he didn't want to go empty. So he told this man, you know, the last time that they bargained for his wages, he said, well, you know, I've watched your clock and there's been no evil found in me. Nothing was missing, you know, but here's how you're going to know my righteousness. You know, let's separate the flock. All the ones you don't like, the ones that are spotted, grizzled and so on and so forth, they will be my hire. And the ones that are nice and clean and smooth color, they will be yours. You know, so if on the day of reckoning, you come into my flock and you see the smooth and this nice color, which should be yours, then you know they were stolen. So, you know, all I would do is, you know, these ones, nobody really liked those grizzled and spotted ones. And Laban said, well, okay, I will that it will be like that. And it looks good, sounded good to him. So they made the agreement. And then, you know, here is the grace and mercy and election of God. Let me tell it to you this way, ladies and gentlemen. The enemy, you know, cannot exact upon you. When the blessing of God is upon you, a devil, he can't take it from you. I mean, he will try. I mean, Laban, you know, switched around his wages, you know, a lot of times. You know, he said, you know, Jacob said, look, if he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, you know, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said the ring straight shall be your wages, all the cattle bear will straight. But because all of that, the Lord knew how to bless Jacob. You know, and Jacob did something incredible, which nobody else ever done in that Bible. He actually affected the course of nature. He went in and the Lord showed him, the angel of the Lord. He said, the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream. Genesis 31, verse 11. And I lifted up my eyes and I saw, you know, and he knew when the strong rams, you know, when they were wanted to conceive, then Jacob did something to make the calves that would come out, to make them the way he wanted. And he switched all the wealth of Laban that way. And the man couldn't do anything about it because that's what they agreed. You know, if the cattle are ring straight and so forth, then they are yours. If they are this way, then they are mine. And so every time they wanted to conceive, and the Lord showed it to him in a dream ahead of time, and he'd take a stick, you know, and he'd shape the stick, you know, with the ring straight and colors and everything that he wanted. And then go and put it in front of the animals when they were mating so that they will conceive and come out and the calf will come out with those colors. And can you do that? I mean, that's crazy stuff, you know. And he affected the course of nature. And this man, there was something upon him. Something upon him. And he was going to emerge no matter what. And he told this man, when am I going to fend for myself? I mean, I've already served you 7 years first. You tricked me. I served you another 7 years. You tricked me again. Now I served you 6 more years and you're still going to hold me. When am I going to emerge for myself? And the man tried to trick him some more. And so God said, don't worry about it. You know, he can't hold you back. Here's what you need to do. The angel of the Lord showed him in a dream. And that's strategy. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, listen for the Lord's instructions. because he's going to give it to you as we go up through these next few days, as we ending through this year. God's going to bring instruction your way in order for you to emerge. It doesn't matter whether anybody tried to trick you, anybody tried to steal what's yours, you know, try to put you down, try to keep you back. God has a plan, and he did it in the life of Jacob. And so Jacob, you know, everything, you know, one way or another, he got all that he deserved. This man tricked him, you know, changed his wages multiple times, but lo and behold, the angel of the Lord gave him strategy of how you're going to get all that is yours. And you will do it in a way that no one will be able to gainsay. They won't be able to say you stole the cattle, because this is what you agreed. And the Lord gave Jacob the wisdom to negotiate that thing. And on top of it, the Lord gave him what to do to make it, to shift the scale in his own favor. The story is amazing. I don't have time to read all of it, you know, but, you know, you should really read it, because it's an amazing story. You can read it from, you know, Genesis 29, 30, 31, 32, all those stories of Jacob. It's amazing. And even this James Jacob was the man that knew how to wrestle with God, you know, and he wouldn't turn loose. That's in Genesis 32. You read all those chapters in there. Amazing story. The favor and the mercy of God was with this man. And, you know, despite his own, I mean, Jacob wasn't a perfect man. He did a lot of stuff, but the grace and mercy of God through election was upon him, and he was going to emerge no matter what. And he said to this man, look, you've kept me back 20 years. You know, it's time for me to emerge on my own. Enough already. I mean, I have been with you this long. When am I going to set up my own shop? By myself. And the man said, well, I know that God has blessed me because of you. Therefore, stay here some more so that God can bless me more. What about Jacob? You know, and there are people like that will use you. Yeah, they know the blessing of God is upon you. And, you know, so it's just like, you know, Saul. I mean, he knew the blessing of God was upon David. So he constricted him to come and be, you know, come and work for him. You know, I mean, but, you know, David's destiny was way beyond working for Saul. You know, but Saul, he saw the greatness that was coming in David, so he constricted him to come and work for him, put him under him. Well, same thing with this Laban. See that, you know, some greatness is coming into this Jacob, you know, so put it under me, you know. Here's what he said, you know. Jacob argued his case. He said, look, I mean, I've learned, here's what Laban told him in Genesis 30. He said, look, I've learned by experience, Genesis 30 verse 27, I've learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. So appoint me your wages and I will give it. And Jacob said, man, you know, I have served you, and you know, your cattle was little when I came. And you know, everything, you know, that the Lord has increased now is, you know, you now have a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you since my coming. But now, when shall I emerge for myself? That's basically the way I read this. Genesis 30, you know, and verse 30. When shall I emerge for myself? I mean, I'm going to serve you all this, you know, forever. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to break forth, you know. But for you to do it, the Lord's hand is upon you, got to be on you, and he's going to give you strategy like he gave this Jacob. It was a chosen, God elected him to have mercy and favor, even before he was born, even before he knew nothing about it, you know. And so the man said, well, you know, do this and you can do this, do that and you can do that. And Jacob agreed, but know that the man was, you know, not good for his word, you know. So in Jacob's heart, it's like, Lord, you know, you are the God of my fathers who promised to bless me. But look at this man. He's holding me back. And then the Lord sent an angel to him in the night and said, don't worry about it. You know, I am the Lord and I will avenge you. Praise the Lord. You know, and the Lord gave him strategy. It's incredible stuff. And he caused all the wealth of Laban's house to flow into him on his own side, that Jacob did. And the man could do nothing about it because that's what they agreed on. Every time he saw that the cattle was about to conceive, if they were weak cattle, you know, the ones that were feeble, that nobody wanted, you know, then Jacob left them alone. And then they brought forth the feeble cattle. But if they were strong, if you saw that the males were strong, the females were strong, he knew that when they were going to mate, they're going to have these strong bones, you know, and strong structure. Then he put this thing that God gave him. He put his strategy. He put it right in front of them and said, you know, now you guys, when you mate, this is what's coming out of there. And one by one by one by one, he got all the wealth transferred to him. All, you know, an incredible transfer of wealth. And he emerged. Even though the devil, through Laban, was trying to keep him back. 20 years kept him back. You know, could have done it in 7. Kept him back for, you know, 13 more years. But lo and behold, at the end, he got troops. Troops. Hallelujah. So here is our lesson today. The enemy shall not exact upon you. God has handpicked you to emerge. You are a vessel of mercy. You are chosen. You are elected according to his purpose. And God spoke, you know, concerning Jacob, even when Jacob wasn't thinking anything about it, he wasn't even born. That you're going to be great. You're going to be above your brethren, you know. And so that which the word of the Lord has spoken for you must come to pass. So this is a sequel to yesterday's lesson. You're looking for his blessing. You're trusting him. But I want you to know that something beyond even your looking is guiding your steps. It's the word of prophecy. It's guiding your steps. Did the Lord speak to you this year that you will emerge? Then emerge you will. Now you say, well, but, you know, 11 months already passed and I did not emerge. Don't worry about it. 20 years passed in the case of Jacob, but he did emerge. But here is the thing that we will bring this around for you today. Here is the thing. One, recognize that God has chosen you to be a vessel of mercy. That's it. That's number one. And when we recognize that, what, should we now then our head be swollen and we go around pounding our chest? Of course not. You know, as a matter of fact, it causes you to tremble. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Sometimes it brings tears to my eyes. And I tell you, folks, ladies and gentlemen, every time I read that Romans 9 story, you know, brings tears to my eyes. Sometimes I get goosebumps. You know, how that the Lord, you know, chose the younger, you know, to be above the elder. And the Lord just turned around the birthright. Even when they had done nothing. I mean, it's not like, they have not committed any sin. They have not done any good or evil. They're still in the womb. I mean, and God said, that's it. That's the way it's going to be. Now, I look through my life. Glory to God. You know, and you can examine your life too and see if you fit the pattern. I see that I'm a vessel of mercy. Praise God. Now, mercy is undeserved favor and blessing and merit. Well, you know, Look, I don't know why God chose to bless me, but I'm thankful that he did. And I will not frustrate the grace of God. You're born into a family in which I was the least. I mean, last born in that family of many people, you know, or several. But yet, God handpicked me that I was going to, do great in my life. I wasn't seeking it, but he did it. He chose it. And now I recognize the mercy of God. So I'm not about to frustrate that grace. I am going to every day milk that mercy. That's right. You know, when you know that you are on a roll with God, then keep on milking the cow, so to speak. You know, don't stop. Why would you stop? But Bible says running over. So the question today is this. Are you going to let your cup run over, or are you going to let the thing run dry? Which one is going to be? Well, for Jacob, it was running over. He kept putting those, you know, that stick that he carved and shaped and put different colors on. He kept putting them in front of the strong cattle, you know, and until he got everything his way. His strategy, ladies and gentlemen. But don't stop. God's got you on a roll. You know, don't stop. Elisha, the prophet, he said to King of Israel, open the window and shoot your arrows. And the man opened his window and shot three times and stopped. And the prophet was furious. So why did you stop? You should have shot 5, 7, 6, 8 times. And the Lord would have vanquished your enemies completely. But now, because you stopped at number 3, you're only going to have 3 victories over these Syrians. My goodness. Don't stop now. Praise God. You know, non-stop, continuous blessings coming your way as part of this Emerge package. You heard me. Praise the Lord. Or I should say, well, you heard the Holy Spirit say it through me. I did not have that written down. Well, I didn't have anything written down all day long today. Most of the time I don't. But here it is. Non-stop, continuous blessings coming your way. Write that down. As part of this emerging package that God is endowing you with. He's putting it on you. Now, when God lays that blessing smack down on a person, there are not enough devils, there are not enough Labans anywhere to prevent it from happening. God is going to bless Jacob. He said it too, because of your father Abraham. I'm going to bless you. Jacob said, well, if the Lord will bless me and you bring me back to my father's house, the Lord said, I will. He said, well, if you do, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything. Ladies and gentlemen, I digress a little bit about that, but everybody that gave a tenth in the Bible, these great men of God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they did it willingly. It wasn't by commandment. There was no such commandment. It was revelation. And they, by revelation, they did it. And when they did, my goodness, the Lord turned things around for them, you know, and the Lord blessed them. In Genesis 28 and verse 22, you know, this was what Jacob did. And they made, he made a pledge. Set up a pillar, said, this will be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give you a tenth. God didn't ask him. He came by revelation. And that's truly the way it is, even up to today. Although some people try to force it on you, it's by revelation. Why stop at 10? If you want to give the Lord 15 or 20, that's great too. You know, but if you struggle with even giving 10, and you got a problem. You know, so, but the Lord did not demand any such thing from us now in this New Testament. You know, and even the law of first mention in Genesis 14, Abraham did it by revelation to Melchizedek. It was not a commandment. It was a revelation. And Jacob, he gave the Lord a tenth of everything. So now, ladies and gentlemen, remember the Lord thy God, you know, when he has blessed you. Remember him, for it is he that will give you power to get wealth. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. I'll read you a few scriptures. I'm going to pray over the room. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 8 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. Now, not exactly the wealth, but it's going to give you the strategy. That's right. He gave Jacob that strategy, that power of how to get Laban's wealth transferred to himself. Legally. Hallelujah. Legally, because that was the agreement. And he did it too. And the Lord said, the merchandise of Ethiopia, the riches of Egypt, men of Sibian, they come over unto you in chains. God gonna give you the secret riches of hidden treasures and different things. Yeah. I'm gonna be talking about that as we go through before the end of this year. You want to stay tuned. Because the Lord said, you know, it is time to say those things. I've been wanting to say those things for a long time. And God's kept keeping me back from it. But I'm going to say it. I'm going to release some things before the end of this year by the grace of God. You get a hold of what God is saying and what God is doing. And it starts right here. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power. To get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. That's right. Well, let me put it to you this way. You know, remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that is going to give you the strategy. Convert the wealth. into for your own favor. There's wealth out there. God's going to give you strategy of how to convert it for you, so that he may establish the good word which he spoke to you at the beginning of this year, that you will emerge. That's right. And we are at that season. And so God will bring instruction. And I pray, I'm trying to yield myself to the Holy Spirit, that I will be a channel of blessing for God to give you instruction, and not specific instruction, individualized instruction, that's between you and the Holy Spirit, but general instruction that will give you faith to be looking for it, looking for that goodness and his mercy, because he has handpicked you. That's right. He has handpicked you. Jesus said unto them, you know, fear not, little flock. I mean, it's like, well, we're like a little flock here. I mean, it's not like, you know, you have rooms where there are hundreds and thousands of people. So we're really like a little flock. But in Luke 12 and 32, Jesus said, fear not, little flock. Well, so that might go for this little community we have right here. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to cause a transfer of wealth come unto you. That's what's happening. Now, this must be a closely guarded secret, because the Lord has not allowed me to share some things that I've been wanting to share for a long time. Even some of my daughters ask me, you know, say, hey, tell us these things that you've been alluding to. I say, well, not time, but it is time. Praise God. It is time. And it's time for you. And so I encourage you to invite people to come. But they won't come unless the Lord send them. That's the way it works. You can invite them all you want. And you should. But they're not going to come unless the Lord send them. But for those that the Lord will send, and they'll hear something or certain things that will trigger certain things, man, it's going to light like a fire underneath you, bring you to the place where God wants you to be. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the chosen of the Lord. You are. Now, if this resonates with you, the Holy Spirit will bear witness in your spirit that this is for you. And if it's not for you, then it's not for you. You know, but I tell you what, I mean, Jesus used to put it all out there. Some people would grab it. Some people didn't grab it, but he put it out there. You know, so we're putting it out there because the Lord said it's time. And I pray, you know, that we do not falter. I pray that I myself do not falter. I can bring this, you know, inspiration of the Almighty to you, you know, as he gives it to me, to cause you to emerge and to cause you to inherit the good word that the Lord has spoken. Remember, as Joshua put it in Joshua 21 and 45, he said, there has not failed any one thing. You know, and even Solomon talked about the same thing in First Kings chapter 8. He said, there has not failed any one thing of all of the good things that the Lord promised. He's done it all, he said. And they both said it. And I said, well, you know, so he said, well, let's believe the Lord. I had not failed any one thing that he promised. Joshua 21, 45 and 1 Kings 8 and 56. Tell you the same thing. You know, has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised. Hallelujah. Well, they said by the hand of the mouth of his servant Moses. Well, I say to you, which he promised to us by the Holy Ghost. We don't have Moses anymore. Tell us anything. We don't need him to tell us anything today. He's already told what he needs to tell us. We can read it in the book, in the volume of the book, remember. But we got the Holy Spirit today. Give it to us fresh from the unction that comes out of the throne. That's right. Fresh. And so that's where we are. Well, you know, if this word is for you, your heart is already pounding. It is like, my goodness, something we're on the brink. And let me put it to you this way. You are on the edge of infinity. Because with God, there is no limit. God, all things are possible. It only depends on the level of the power that walketh within you. You know, how much capacity do you have to believe God? And that's the level to which God is going to unleash the blessings. And why? Well, there is a work that needs to be done, but more so, you know, God wants to do it. You know, and just say it is time. Praise God. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's rejoice in the goodness of the Lord for causing us to be the vessels of mercy. Hallelujah. And if I have any, if there are any vessels of mercy in the house today, then we're going to pray together. You know. And we're going to see what the Lord will do for us. And I want you to be praying over the next several weeks as we go into this, the end of this year, see what the Lord is going to tell us. We got some exciting things that are coming. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia. Well, it's kind of like, you know, all of the good stuff of Lebanon. Isaiah 45 and 14. Men of stature shall come over unto you. They shall be thine. My goodness. Come after you in chains. Well, it's not going to happen unless God gives you the strategy. He said it will happen, but how are you going to get there? Well, God gave the word concerning Jacob, but he got to give him strategy on how to get there. You know, and the strategy will be coming. I'm going to be seeking the Lord and praying, you know, that the Lord will give you the grace to understand this, you know, because it is time for the people of God to emerge. It is time for you to break forth on every side. And God is going to prepare you for the breaking forth in the next several days. So you'll be praying and you'll be trusting the Lord, and then you'll be looking for his mercy. And let's believe the Lord together. I'm going to pray over the room. I'll leave it there. I don't want to say too much before the time, but it's more that's coming from the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, because you've made us vessels of mercy. You handpicked us. Even when we knew nothing about it, just like you handpicked Jacob. Even when he knew nothing about it, wasn't even born. And the word which you spoke concerning him before he was born, well, we see that throughout his life, you know, that word found a way to come to pass. I thank you, Lord, that you showed us in history that the forces of darkness that try to hold us back, they cannot succeed when God has chosen us as vessels of mercy. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. That's why the Lord brought the word to you this year, and now he will show you how. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I give you, Lord, all the praise and I give you all the glory. And may there be listening ears here to these things. You know, open our ears, Lord, that we, when we hear, we may understand. That's right. We may perceive instruction and knowledge and strategy from the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and give you glory. Thank you for the good treasure that you will open unto your children. So the Lord said, you know, he will open unto you his good treasure. He will command his blessings upon you in the city, in the field, wherever. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, bless all your people and cause us, O Lord, to hear the word. Praise the Lord. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Isaiah 45, verse 31. God will cause them to come over unto you in chains. He's got a way to do it. But he'll give you strategy on how to do it. But be patient now. Don't jump ahead of the Lord. Jacob was patient. But he got it at the end. The Lord may take you through some things. It's not going to happen overnight. But he's positioning you with instruction. Some of you will need to be trained. But it's coming. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.